Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
You know what? I'm pretty much mostly positive, Chuck Mark.
And it's been a whirlwind of a day, but yes, we're here for you. Your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast, just a couple of best friend and Clipper credential media folks who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
100%.
Yeah, as I alluded to, it was a very tense day for me.
Man, quarantine trade deadline is very different than being able to go other places.
That's a great point. It hits different, in fact.
Okay.
But anyways, we're going to start things off with a recap of the Clippers trade deadline.
The one thing that happened.
Yes, the one major move that we have to talk about, although, you know, buyout market's still very much in play.
For sure.
And then the shorthanded Clippers were able to pull off the back-to-back against the Spurs.
Is this the best win of the Clippers season?
Are you going to say that every game?
Every game that we beat a team with only 9 active players, I'm going to say.
You know what? That's fair. That's fair enough. Clippers moved to, I believe, 8-0 on the second night of back-to-backs.
Yeah, no one talks about that.
But we're going to talk about what we liked from that game, as well as a couple things we didn't like.
Yeah.
And then in segment 3, we're going to be looking ahead to the 76ers. Pretty exciting matchup.
Yeah.
They are, you know, the top of the East.
Playing good ball.
Doc's return. Lots to talk about in that one. And then it's Friday, so we have a Love, Mary quarantine for you. This one goes out to Lou Will.
Yeah.
Lou Will themed. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yeah. So the Clippers trade deadline was pretty chill. As of 11 a.m., the Clippers had done nothing. It was an hour until the trade deadline. Then they just traded Lou Will in 2 seconds for Rajon Rondo.
So we always talk about how the Clippers front office moves in silence. Is this the worst surprise they've ever given us?
I think the Marcus Morris one might have been.
That was the worst surprise?
It was close because everyone was kind of like, okay, so we're just going to trade Mo Harkless for Marcus Morris.
Well, that one was different because I feel like everyone knew, so it was less of a move in silence
true.
Move. Or you're saying that you felt like you knew that this was going down?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just like, I honestly felt, I think blindsided is a dumb word.
Yeah.
But after what happened, he scores his 15,000th point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think like, you and I both talked about, like, this is Lou Will's last game as a Clipper.
Yeah.
Last night. And, you know, we didn't bring it up on the show because we didn't have any true evidence.
But it had that vibe.
It had the feeling for sure.
I don't know. I think, let's just get out of the, immediately, like, what Lou Will did for this Clippers team. Well, you're going to hear a lot of emotion when I talk about why I don't like this trade.
Oh, yeah.
Just full disclosure.
And this is like just the raw reaction. Like, we're going to talk about it analytically as well. But, you know,
I mean, Lou Will needs his jersey retired tomorrow for the Clips.
So, yeah. And I mean, in 3.5 seasons, like the amount of change that he had on the culture here. I don't know. I don't think that I'll ever forget. There's no way I'll ever forget it as a fan.
The Clippers weren't supposed to do anything when he was on this team to start. He had to be convinced to play basketball,
to not retire
for the Clippers. And he bought in. I mean, he was there for the 18-19 season. There's the iconic eating nachos pick after the 31-point comeback against the Warriors. He hit game winners. He ran the best pick and roll of all. Him and Trez helped bring, along with Pat Bev, an identity to this Clips team when there was so much uncertainty after all the big trades.
Yeah. Someone posted that slam cover of them with Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
And them wearing each other's jerseys. Like the, yeah.
He's an all time. He's one of the greatest Clippers of all time.
Yes.
In the era we are now with how short guys' careers are with one team,
yeah,
the amount that he was able to do with the Clippers is impossible to do again.
Well, with that huge milestone of his career, last night with 15,000 points off the bench, might I add.
Yeah.
Almost a third of those happened with the Clippers, which is, you know, pretty incredible. So I hope that, you know, we've kind of rubbed off on him as much as, you know, I know he's...
He's what? What are you about to say, bro?
As much as he's impacted all the other fans. Be an adult.
And he's a culture setter for the team. Terrence Mann, after the Spurs game, said, Lou was my vet. He taught me how to be a pro. He always picked me up when things were going bad. He always checked in on me on and off the court. I'm definitely going to miss him. He was a leader for the team.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's hard to see him go.
You know, and I mean, he was so instrumental in Shea's growth to get him to like where he was, and if Shea doesn't get to where he was, who knows like what goes down with the Paul George trade, like what assets, you know, I don't know.
Such a huge piece.
There's just so many implications that like it'll be so much more than a footnote, obviously.
It was a heavy Clippers loss.
Yeah.
And now we have to talk about
the acquisition.
The acquisition. Rajon Rondo.
Yes.
Which, look, this trade was done specifically only for Rondo to impact the playoffs. That seems pretty clear.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How does Rajon Rondo fit into this team?
TBD. I mean, honestly, so here's the thing that's difficult. I do like that he is sort of like the floor general. You know, a more creative passer than Lou Williams. More willing to, I don't know about more willing to defer to the ball, because I thought Lou Will.
He's just not as good of a scorer, so he can't rely on it.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, you know, with no shooting, he possesses very little offensive skill set off the ball. And I feel like a problem with the guards right now is that basically everyone who can score needs the ball in their hand a lot, which is, you know, a common thing. But, you know, Reggie is the only one who seems to be comfortable off ball. And with him playing so much time with the starters, you know, they're not ever going to really play together.
Yeah, Reggie's effectively our starting point guard at this point.
So,
which is weird.
But at the same time, he does bring something different than any guard we really have in the rotation kind of has.
The IQ on Rajon Rondo is unbelievably high with basketball.
100%.
It's a top... You know, it's top. It's up for all-time point guard IQs. Obviously, he sees the game in a very, I mean, in the Rondo way, which is great. It's just we gave up assets for this move.
So this was the most puzzling thing to me is we're taking on another year of salary.
Yeah, he's locked in for the Clippers next year for $7.5 million.
Which, if it goes well, you know, great, very solid.
Yeah.
You can pitch to Kawhi, hey, we basically have everybody coming back.
It's a high IQ play, which Kawhi, he does like Rondo.
Yes. I mean, you know, Rondo has the admiration of, you know, most of the players, I would say, across the league. So that, from that standpoint, it definitely makes sense. How do we see him fitting into this locker room culture-wise? Because I feel like there's a situation with Rondo where a lot of people recognize that, obviously, that he's a great player, but the way that he bounces around teams kind of makes me wonder, like, what's going on there?
So I was kind of worried about this until Terrence Mann pulled out the Rajon Rondo rookie card that he carries around with him in his wallet every day. So now I'm like, my worries at that front are kind of like gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be more worried about it if no one on the team had ever won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
But Kawhi knows what it takes.
Yeah.
Serge knows what it takes. So that makes it easier to deal with, right? Like you have three guys who kind of know what's going on, and Rondo might take more of the charge.
Yeah, for sure. We've also heard
holding people accountable. If you think that needs to happen for the Clippers.
Well, that's the thing. I think that holding people accountable is one thing, but teammates being able to take that sort of criticism, I think, can go a little bit differently. But we've already heard from Nick Batum that this is a team that really emphasizes, you know,
Right, Rajon. You're always right, Rajon.
But like they emphasize letting each other know, like, you know, what's going wrong or where they can pick up. And everybody seems really able to accept that sort of, you know, creative criticism. So that makes me makes me worry about any kind of fit issues sort of assured. Whereas I can see like with a Hawks team with, you know, some younger guys and like, you know, essentially a huge overhaul in free agency.
Yeah.
How maybe that wasn't as great of a fit.
He's with vets now.
Yeah.
We added an old player to an old team.
Yeah.
Which is good. Going back to the passing, we know the passing is elite. But that's my issue. I have some issues with this move. It doesn't fix any of the weaknesses that the Clippers had, it feels like. This isn't a huge needle-moving move in either way. I'm not saying this dooms the Clippers' championship hopes or puts them over the edge one other way. But the biggest issue with the team is defense, which has looked phenomenal the last six games.
Yes.
But, you know, this is not, I don't know. It just...
So here's the thing. You and I were talking about this. To me, this is... like looking at this on paper, this has the potential for sure. Like this, yeah. The upside is high.
I hope playoff Rondo comes back 100%. I don't want to be right about the fact that Rondo might not help his team.
Yeah.
How we think it will.
Yeah.
I want it to happen.
Yeah. Can it click? And then, yeah, can it click? And then with Rondo not really being able to create his own shot or work off ball, how does that affect, you know, his passing ability? Because, yeah. You know, like if he doesn't really command the respect of a defense, then, you know, that makes that more difficult.
100%. The saving grace, you know, a lot of this, Ty Lue is familiar with Rondo. He was like cracking jokes about already in the presser. So that's good. There's a lot to be excited about, but there's plenty to also be fairly concerned about. I feel like right now, kind of an NBA fandom in general, you either have to be a stan or absolutely want somebody to like die. Like there's no middle ground for how you view a player. Whereas I think there's definitely some upside to this.
It's a gamble. It's just a gamble.
You're gambling the playoff Rondo shows up 100% again.
And can stay healthy.
Yep. He's played two less games than Patrick Beverley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty crazy to think about. And when he's on the floor, everyone else is going to have to go on defense. I don't know. I'm not ready. I'm really happy we didn't record this podcast 5 minutes after the move.
Yes.
Because
it was a little raw.
I bought some fluorescent light bulbs and broke them. No, I'm just kidding. I thought about it though. But
huffed all the inside.
Yeah, I got freaking ripped, dude. But we welcome Rajon Rondo to the team. Happy he's a Clip.
Yes, absolutely.
Happy he's a Clip.
Curious to see how this all sort of shakes out. What kind of sets can be implemented with, you know, his skill set in there.
Yeah.
And he also does read defenses really, really well.
Yeah. Kid Cudi said keep moving forward, so I'm going to do that. coming up, we're going to be recapping the Clippers' maybe best win of the season against the Spurs on Thursday night.
I hate you.
But first, we got to give a shout out to Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bet, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, so we're back, and we're talking, as Positive Chuck put it, the best win of the Clippers season.
Look, no Bev, no Serge, no Mook, no Kawhi. Also, just real quick, it just seems like a classic let's let these guys rest thing.
So I think that every year, if you look back, the first game after the trade deadline is always weird.
Yeah.
And it's even weirder if there's games happening, like if the trade deadline is like later, you know,
for sure.
Day. So,
yeah, 100%. Clippers only had 9 active players. Only 8 of them got time. I think if this game would have been more out of reach, Oturu would have gotten some time. But we played phenomenal defense in this game.
Yes.
The team shot. What do we shoot from the field? We shot 38% from the field.
And like 38% from three. It's very bizarre.
It's very weird. But I mean, what we like in this game is that the team didn't quit.
No.
We had 57 rebounds, which is a season high in this game.
Yeah.
Without Serge.
There was every reason to drop this game.
Oh, we just lost a locker room presence. Second night of a back-to-back, which we are still undefeated on. Like 9 active players. You're right. There was every reason to lose this game. Reggie Jackson had 28 points.
Leading scorer for your Clippers.
Ooh, 5 of 10 from 3, 7 of 7 from the line. We were able to get to line 2, which was great.
I love the way that we push the pace in general in this game. Like that.
Imagine if we hit our shots.
Yeah, right?
Truly.
Like Reggie, and then that second unit with Kennard and Mann. I mean, we've gushed about it enough on here, but it they can speed things up in a way that I think could be potentially very devastating to second units.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, if you for any minutes you have to rest your starters, and if you can play those guys in a playoff scenario.
I love watching Terrence will bring the ball up on just a regular inbounds after a miss or after a made shot by the opponent. And he just kind of decides and can see, like, all right, I'm gonna go to the lane and try and get a layup. And most of the time, it seems like a good decision.
Yes,
he did not shoot well on this one from the field. He shot 30%, but he had 10 points, 12 boards. So you can't be too mad at that scenario. We got to talk Paul George too, who shouldered the load of being the only starter and put up so many shots.
Yes.
He averages 16 a game. He put up
24?
Put up 28.
28.
only got 3 free throw attempts. We're going to talk about what we didn't like. But 24 points, season high 13 boards. Like, I mean, in a game where no other starters out there, this was, other than the efficiency, Paul George did everything else right.
Yeah, absolutely. As I alluded to earlier, like the defense in this one was great. Really, to me, the win of this one happened. We went into the half with a loss or with down.
We did lose the half.
And then like the defense in the third was just great. And Paul George just started getting red hot in that quarter. But the guys were locked in. Man had a great game, 10 and 12. And Zoo, I mean, like,
dude,
continues to make his argument to be a closer.
What do you have? 5 blocks, 7 offensive boards. So, which is more than he had for defensive. He had 7 offensive,
6 yeah.
defensive, 10 points. Again, not the most efficient night, but he hit 4 of 4 free throws, which really makes up for it. I don't know. We have to start Zoo train.
I think we have to close Zoo train.
That's fair.
I got to be honest. I don't really care about who's the starter. But I think in a lot of all matchups, right.
No, that's fair.
In a lot of matchups, it makes sense for Zoo to be the closer. Like we need that rebounding.
More Zoo in general.
We just need the rebounding. We need the defensive presence.
That's something that was nice about this trade deadline. We kept Zoo.
Yeah.
Imagine if we would have traded Zoo.
Like we were in a situation where we couldn't send out more than we were receiving. Like, essentially, yeah,
for sure.
So I think we, you know. We want to win on the margins. This is definitely a margins move.
Yes, that is a very nice way to put it. What we didn't like, not a whole hell of a lot in this game.
No, right? No. Look, the shooting percentages were very much the shooting percentages of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
But luckily, it broke that way for both teams.
For sure. Yeah, we stifled the Spurs. Popovich has to be furious at this game.
Yeah, we held Patty Mills, Clipper killer, to like 3 points.
I mean, honestly, anytime we play the Spurs and Patty Mills only gets 2 points, we're definitely going to win. It was, I mean, DeMar had 23, but he shot 42%, only attempted 1 3. Like, this was the defense, credit to Ty Lue in this one, too.
Yeah.
Credit to him for scheming this one very well. Paul George was aggressive and still was not getting calls. Which,
whoa, man.
This is not Paul George's fault.
Whoa.
Like,
Reggie took twice the amount of free throws.
Paul George took 3 free throw attempts. I'm pretty sure 19 of his attempts came in the paint.
Yeah.
He said he had 35,000 reasons to tell you why he didn't get calls in the postgame, which was great, but. Is there an investigation we can launch into this? What has to happen? Does Paul George have to lose a tooth to get a call? They overturned a call on Paul George in this game, too.
Yeah.
Which is like, is this a joke?
It was still a foul. Just they deemed it not in the act of shooting.
But then the Spurs got the ball back.
No, they didn't.
Oh, okay. My bad.
But
look, it's Paul George.
The level of outrage here is taking over your brain.
I'm still outraged.
We've talked about Paul George not getting calls when he's doing a thing where he's hunting for calls, which makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that he's gotten a lot better at actually
he's
trying
just playing
to finish
basketball now.
Yeah. So I truly do not know what else to do. It's one of those things that you can't control it. I guess there's nothing to do but move forward, keep trying.
I'm hoping the dam just breaks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And like a bench player looks at Paul George wrong and a ref is like, whoa, I'm teeing that guy up. Like, this man is crazy. Didn't get a whole lot of bench help tonight, really. Points, you know, shooting wise. Like Coffee hit 2 of 5 threes, which was great. Luke Kennard, cold night. Nick Batum had 8 boards, but I don't really know what we expect in a game where 8 guys are getting run.
Yeah, true. I mean, like, totally. Like, this whole game was, in a way, a bench game, so.
Yeah, I mean, quite literally, yeah. Wish Arturo would have got some time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it was just too close.
It was a close game. It was one that was good to close out, so.
4-game win streak.
Yeah, it's alive.
Can you believe the Clippers are good at basketball? People are acting like we were scrubs. I'm feeling pretty good after this one.
Yeah, I'm feeling.
It was a weird-ass game. Like the weirdest game of the season, vibe-wise, probably.
Yes, it's nice to put away one of these series finally. I will. this weekend or next week, I'm going to run down all 30 teams. What, because every team in the first half of the season played four of these series.
Oh, nice.
And I'm really curious to know like what the win percentage was of like full series.
Yeah, that's a good call.
But anyways, the Clippers taking one, I'm very happy about, especially down guys.
For sure. Coming up, we're going to be looking at clips for 76ers and a bit of a love, marry, quarantine. But first, Will, talk to me about protein bars.
All right, look. One protein bar is clearly the best. It's Built Bar. We've been telling you about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market. We've been talking about it for a while, but it's the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all the bars. And now is the time to figure out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. So cookies and cream made the flavorful four.
Checks out. Makes 100% sense.
You think it goes all the way?
I mean, I think about cookies and cream is that I think it's a flavor that means a lot to a small population of snack eaters and protein bar eaters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it has the wide enough appeal.
I disagree. Are there more songs with choruses of like cookies and cream? There are entire songs with choruses about that.
That's true. But there's an entire song about birthday.
That is also true.
I'm a dipshit.
Anyways,
I think they'll go a long way. I think they already made the enticing or the flavorful four.
Flavorful four. I don't know. Cookies and cream seems like a really tough matchup to beat.
For sure.
But if you want to vote, go to builtbar.com or to @bar_built on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And don't forget to check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
Okay, welcome to the quick look at Doc Rivers' return to Staples.
Hey.
Man, I wish there was fans for this one. You know?
The video board with no fans is such a weird vibe,
it's
right?
It's very weird. So injuries are kind of weird. Like, are we assuming no Bev and Serge? I kind of am.
That's kind of where I'm at.
I assume they're never coming
back. Sixers also in a weird spot. Embiid, kind of questionable on that timetable. Obviously, they're going to give him as much rest as they can. As of the time we're recording this, haven't heard an update on Curry or Green as well.
Yes. So it's a bit of a weird one. What do we need to do well on this one? Sixers are playing some damn good basketball without Embiid.
I think the biggest thing is we need to continue this defensive streak and specifically force them to shoot. They're not a team that, you know, a high percentage of their shot profile is not threes.
No, it is not.
In fact, like they're in terms of their attempts, they're the fifth lowest in percentage of their attempts from three. So their scoring looks are kind of all over the paint. It's not just necessarily, you know, like right around the rim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have some kind of, they have a mid-range presence as well.
Tobias is lighting it up too.
Yeah. Definitely, but we're definitely going to need to have a strong presence down low. You know, everyone knows you can't let Simmons get downhill or it's a nightmare. He is like an elite. He's an elite field goal percentage because, he knows his spots.
100%. We got to move the dang ball.
Yes.
76ers allow just 33 three-point attempts per game. Clippers average 34, which might sound low, but we're the most efficient team of all time shooting from three, so that helps it.
It's not about quantity. It's about quality.
Very true. I hope we can get some paint touches. With Embiid out, that will help things, obviously. If he's in, I hope we put pressure on him on his return, not in a weird way or anything like that.
I get what you're, I know what you're laying down.
But if we move the ball from one side of the court to the other, spicy spaghetti, Corey Maggette style, I'll feel good about our chances in this one.
Definitely. And while moving the ball, we also need to control the ball well.
Yeah.
All right, so the 76ers are, you know, one of the best teams in the NBA right now. However, they do turn the ball over at kind of a surprisingly high rate. About 15% of their possessions result in a turnover, which is bottom five in the NBA. Look, Ty Lue, I bring this up because Ty Lue has stressed again and again the need to keep the turnovers low for the Clippers. Clippers have improved, and they've been pretty solid in that regard.
Only eight against the Spurs tonight.
They're actually top five in the NBA right now in terms of turnover percentage. So having a home game, you know, being back at home, both these teams will be on the...
Eight of them after this one, too.
Yeah, both of these teams will be on, you know, the same amount of rest, but having a home game with minimal mistakes would go so long towards securing a win.
100%. The 76ers are taking on the Lakers tonight, recording this. Up 14 right now in the third quarter, so seems like they're taking care of business.
They don't have to travel, though, and that must be nice.
Very true. Kawhi and PG got to play big. And but what I mean about that is I want PG to keep being aggressive, keep trying to get those foul calls. And I hope Kawhi, dude, Kawhi has looked, I hope him taking this night off tonight doesn't stop his just dunk fest slash I'm rejuvenated vibe that's going on.
Very assertive.
So yeah, so if they're playing big again, I like our chances in this one. What could go wrong?
I mean, look, this is a top three rebounding team in the league. It's a team that's a you know, top in a lot of categories. But on both ends of the floor, they're great on the glass. They're third in the entire league in total rebounds. They're top 10 in offensive rebounding percentage. So we want to limit their second chance opportunities. But I think another huge performance from Zoo here. I mean, I think would cement in Ty Lue's mind, like, why Zoo should be...
This is a great opportunity, yeah.
Now, depending on Embiid's availability, I'm assuming he's going to be out. He'll be matched up with Dwight Howard, which I think is pretty favorable for Zoo.
Well, and Howard is gonna try and annoy Zoo.
Yeah.
That's his role. He's an agitator now. I don't think Zoo will get baited into it. He did a good job of managing the early fouls in the second game against the Spurs, which was good. He had 2 fouls in the first quarter.
Yeah, but then he had 4 and had to get benched in the third.
He's still up with 5 blocks. Though. Like it's, fair. I think it's hard to get 5 blocks.
No, that's fair. Fouls.
The board's gonna be tough. But we performed so well with a, like you said, a bench unit against the Spurs that I think I'm a little clouded by that performance. But I hope it goes almost as well. I don't think we'll set a season high for boards, but if we make it hard on the 76ers. Another thing with the 76ers, classic Doc Rivers team. They average the second most free throw attempts in the league, but Embiid accounts for 11 of those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
So if he's out, it's going to be interesting. But like you said, if Simmons is getting downhill, the interior defense just has to be on point. I'm more concerned, not concerned, that has a rough connotation to it. I'm more excited to see how Kawhi and PG defend in this one as opposed to their offense.
Yeah.
I think Paul George is going to have a good night shooting. I think he's going to hit one of those streaks where he's shooting like some absurd percentage from three. I think Kawhi is going to feel rested. I hope Morris can make an impact because his injury, I'm a little like, all right, we know you need rest, but anytime he gets a little knock, I'm a little more worried.
Just because of earlier in the season.
Just because earlier in the season.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen? Do you think we got this one?
Oh, man.
Five in a row for the Clips?
If Embiid is out, I'm going to say yes.
Love it. That's fair. I think we got this one. I'm in a weird haze because Lou Will's not on the team anymore, but I think we got this one.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of new stuff to figure out. You think we see Rondo in this one?
We didn't even talk about what Rondo's like minutes role is going to be. I think...
I mean, this is going to be an ongoing thing, so...
People were talking about... So, hard pivot. People were talking about how maybe Rondo getting on the team means that Luke Kennard and Terrence Mann get some of Lou Will's minutes, and I just do not think that's true. I think Rajon Rondo gets those minutes. I don't think any of those extra minutes go to the guards that they weren't playing before.
Yeah. I don't quite follow that logic. And once again, you know, like I said, Luke needs the ball in his hands. If you have Rondo out there, I don't know when Luke is going to get the ball in his hands. If they're, they can't really share the court at the same time.
And we got so when everyone's healthy, which might happen at some point this season, we got in no particular order. We have Bev, Terrence, Luke, Rondo. I like how they complement each other.
Yes.
Terrence Mann's defense is great. Bev's defense, good. Great. The shooting is there from Bev and Kennard, but...
And they can both play off.
Yeah.
They can both play off ball.
But it's something to figure out.
Reggie, too.
I fucking forgot about Reggie.
How are you forgetting about Reggie, man?
We have so many guards.
Everybody's always talking about North-South. I feel like Reggie's North-South ability is really underrated.
100%. Well, 213 Hoops had a tweet. They were like, is Rajon Rondo even better than Reggie Jackson right now? Which I agree with. Like,
he's a better decision maker for sure. Yeah, come on.
That's fair.
But I love Reggie.
Does he wear mismatched shoes? What if Rondo wears the... So Reggie rocks the green and yellow shoes. What if Rondo wears yellow and green just on the other feet?
I mean, I'd love it.
I would be just like, all right, I guess I'm hurling myself into the ocean that is on the Rajon Rondo train. But
what if he initiates a team dance first warm-up? Are you on the Rondo train?
Yeah. I love
it. Buying the jersey?
No.
Starts a dance, you're not going to buy the jersey.
I can't wear basketball. I'm a very pale white man.
No, that's fair. You, the combined number of jerseys between the two of us, I believe, is zero.
Well, I got some Dolphins jerseys.
No. I meant basketball jerseys.
No, I respect myself too much to, if I owned a basketball jersey, to wear it with a t-shirt underneath, because I think that's cowardice. But I know that I am much too pale to rock effectively a baggy tank top.
I just don't know where I could wear it, because like, you're not allowed to wear team gear at the
games. I'm getting shit thrown at me from a car if I'm wearing a Clippers jersey with no shirt underneath it in Los Angeles. And I would be like, I deserve this. I ran it on a happy note. I guess kind of a bittersweet note. We're doing a Love, Marry, Quarantine. Going away gifts for Lou Will.
This one hurts.
I'm just happy he's going home. We have Stadium Nachos, obviously to commemorate the 31-point comeback.
Yeah.
Perhaps they're bronzed, so he can use them as a little plaque or a statue or a bust in his house at Lou Willville. We have Chicken Wings from Obie Bear, which is a fantastic restaurant.
Yeah.
That has maybe the best wings in Los Angeles.
Gotta be.
Not sure if Lou Will has been there, but it'd be a nice, fun thing. You know, he's going back to Magic City. He gets his favorite wings just to see to compare.
Yeah, just definitely. To compare.
And then the third option, they just mail him a double-double each week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's solid.
Just a bag of double-doubles in a bag.
Do they have White Castle in Georgia?
I don't know. I'm going to do a quick.
What's the thing there? Is that Whataburger kind of territory?
So Waffle House dominates.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking burger places, though.
I don't know. There's not any White Castles in Georgia. Oh, wait. There's one in Augusta.
I don't think that counts. I don't think he's going to Augusta.
He's not going to cruise down.
He's freaking Lou Will, dude.
It's also not a California-style burger. Of course, it's a slider. They don't really do that. They try and do them out here, but
I'm just saying local burgers, man.
This isn't local.
Apparently, this one's very food.
This is LA stuff. So what are you loving, marrying, quarantining, or adding to it?
All right, so I'm marrying the Stadium Nachos to commemorate the 31-point comeback. Wow, just a great... That whole run, I think, is just one of my favorite periods as a fan.
Oh, yeah. Really, it was unbelievable.
Really, really good time.
That comeback, we were at a friend's bar for that comeback.
Yes.
For the 31-point comeback.
Getting fed free drinks.
Getting fed free drinks.
The live stream after that was a disaster.
Everyone there hated us. Because we had our friend, Patrick Laurie, who's been on this podcast, put the game on both TVs. And yeah, that was a good time.
Honestly, I got to quarantine everything else because... I can't believe he's even gone away.
That's fair. I got to marry the Stadium Nachos.
Yeah.
I wish he would... The Clippers should give him a chain that is the Nachos. Like, the pendant is the Nachos.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be a great gift. I kind of got to love the double-double.
Yeah, that's fair.
That seems like a fun time. Wings from Obie Bear. You know, I love those.
Yeah.
I don't think Lou Will maybe does. I'm bummed he's not on the team anymore.
Yeah.
It felt weird. I hated that the Clips were on a back-to-back and we were just hurled into this reality of Lou Will not on the team. Like, it was just like the day we have the trade. It's like, all right, Lou Will's on the team. Sick. Let's get it.
It's nuts.
Like, man. Yeah, I hope Lou Will's so great.
Yeah.
Get that man's jerseys in the rafters.
I'd love it.
Tomorrow.
I'd love it.
Today. We could get in there. Monday's episode, we are taking the weekend off as we usually do. Monday's episode, recap of Doc's return, preview of Clips versus Bucks. We have a tough stretch of games coming up.
Absolutely.
The Freshies and Luke Kennard progress report, which hopefully he does something in the 76ers game.
What do you think? He's been great.
I agree.
We got a bunch to talk about.
I put this on Ty Lue, though. I hope Ty Lue puts him in a position to do some stuff in the 76ers game. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Thank y'all for listening to us. Lou Will, you're definitely not listening, but hey, we love you, man.
Oh, yeah.
Where can these people tell, you know, someone who on the bus who they maybe just met what they're listening to and where they could listen to it?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can always tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. It works flawlessly. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. As we mentioned up top, we come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. We'd love to have you listen.
110%. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William, the opinion Updike. We appreciate you.